this week's epistle is from the that of the blessed Apostle Paul to the Galatians. Brethren, since we live by the Spirit, let the Spirit be our rule of life. We must not indulge vain ambitions, envying one another and provoking one another to envy. Brethren, if a man is found guilty of some fault, you who are spiritually minded ought to show a spirit of gentleness in correcting him. Have an eye upon thyself. Thou too will perhaps encounter temptation. Bear the burden of one another's failings. Then you will be fulfilling the law of Christ. The man who thinks he is of some worth, when in truth he is worth nothing at all, is merely deluding himself. Everyone should examine his own conduct. Then he will be able to take the measure of his own worth. No need to compare himself with others. Each of us then will have his own load to carry. Your teachers are to have a share in all that their disciples have to bestow. Make no mistake about it, you cannot cheat God. A man will reap what he sows. If nature is his seed ground, nature will give him a perishable harvest. If his seed ground is the Spirit, it will give him a harvest of eternal life. Let us not be discouraged then over our acts of charity. We shall reap when the time comes if we persevere in them. Let us practice generosity to all while the opportunity is ours, and above all, to those who are of one family with us in the faith. Please stand for a continuation of the Holy Gospel according to Luke. At that time, it happened that Jesus was going into a city called Nain, attended by his disciples and by a great multitude of people. And just as he drew near the city gate, a dead man was being carried out to his burial, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a crowd of folk from the city went with her. When the Lord saw her, he had pity on her and said, "Do not weep." Then he went up and put his hand on the bier, and those who were carrying it stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to thee, rise up." And the dead man sat up and spoke, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all overcome with awe and said, praising God, "A great prophet has risen up among us. God has visited his people." Thus far the Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. My sisters and brothers, over the month of September, or early in the month of September, I should say, I went through the different readings on the different Sundays and tried to sketch out a little bit of a sermon. Now that I have to give two sermons every weekend, neither one of which, frankly, is very good, still, I thought I could at least have some idea of what I wanted to say. This gospel, the young man brought back to life, is an excellent opportunity for us to recall that where you and I are brought back to life is in the sacrament of confession. And so I am going to talk about confession, and even though I do hear confessions before Mass, I came up with this sermon 2 weeks ago, right? So if you're thinking to yourself, "Oh, sweet mercy, he's talking about me," right? I'm not talking about you, okay? But it is a good opportunity to go back over just a quick refresher on how we approach the sacrament of confession. For many people, they've not been in years, and so I invite you to come in to receive that great gift of God's love and his mercy. I'm not going to get mad at you, right? Finally, I decided to take the spikes out of the kneeler in the confessional, so you're not going to get hurt by going in there. Rather, you will simply receive the great love and the great mercy that God has to give you. It's a beautiful, it's a wonderful moment in my life as a priest when I can hear the transformation in people's voices because God has visited them, God has transformed them, and God has not only forgiven but also forgotten their sins. It's a beautiful thing, and I encourage you to go to confession. In terms of frequency for confession, it's different for different people. The saints tell us about once a month tends to be a good target to hit. If you need more, then come more often. If you don't need it as often, don't come as often, right? But about once a month is a good starting point for considering how often you should come to confession. And when you do, again, I'm just to the left, or it's my left, right? So regardless, out where St. Anne is, there's a statue in the back. If you go through that door and just keep going, the first door on your left is where I am, right? It's a bridal room. And how appropriate it is that a room in which, you know, a young woman who's excited and in love gets to celebrate that sacrament, so too God, in his great eagerness and love for you, waits for you there. I'll be sitting there behind the screen, probably half awake, right? I've been awake since 4 o'clock this morning. It has nothing to do with you and the quality of your confessions. I'm tired. And that's probably a good time to come to confession. You'd be guaranteed I won't remember a darn thing you say, right? Come in, close the door. You can kneel down or you can sit down, whichever you like. And I'm waiting on you to start, right? I don't want to rush you. And so you can make the sign of the cross out loud or say, "Bless me, Father, for I have sinned." And then tell me about how long it's been since your last confession. It doesn't have to be exact, right? So I don't need to know a specific number of days or hours. If it's been so long that you can't remember, just simply tell me that. "Father, I don't remember the last time I went to confession." Okay, wonderful. And then just go into what it is that you're bringing to Jesus today in order to have him heal it, in order to have him forgive it, in order for him to take it upon himself. I encourage you to do an examination of conscience before coming to confession, right? It's a little easier on you that way, trust me. Be sure to confess your sins and make sure they're your sins, right, that you're confessing. I don't want you to confess your husband's sins or your wife's sins or your parents' sins, right? I'm not interested in any of that. We're just talking about you. You'll confess, of course, all your mortal sins. Mortal sins are those which are serious sins. They are sins that you have done knowing that they are serious sins. And with freedom of heart, not bound by habit, not bound by addiction, but with total freedom of heart, knowing that it was serious stuff, you still elected to do it anyway. Okay, so those sins have to be confessed in number and in kind, right? So tell me what you did, and as best as you can recall, how many times you did it. You're not going to frighten me, trust me. I've been a priest for 10 years. I have literally heard everything, okay? It's just letting you know there are no original sins left. You are not going to shock me. Also, don't take into account human opinions. I'm not going to think less of you when you confess, no matter what you confess. In fact, if anything, I will have a higher opinion of you because of your courage. You had the guts to come in and say that kind of thing to another person. That's amazing. And that is evidence of the grace of God at work. Glory be. So those are your mortal sins. Venial sins, you can confess them. You don't have to. But please don't think the confession is only for mortal sins, right? That is not true. God is not just interested in healing your mortal sins. He's interested in healing the whole package, right? And so if you'd like to confess your venial sins, you're more than welcome to, but you don't necessarily have to. Again, though, stick to your own sins, not somebody else's sins. And make sure that when you confess, you're actually confessing sins, right? For example, emotions are not sins. Emotions are good. They're given to us by God. It's what we do with them that can be good or can be sinful, right? For me, the red hair is not for show, even though there's less of it than there used to be. The red hair is not for show, right? I get mad pretty easily. Being angry is not sinful. And that's not just me making an excuse for myself. It's true. Anger is a beautiful thing. We're hardwired to be angry. God has given us this emotion so that we can use it to become saints. So to come in and say, Father, I got mad. Okay, welcome to the human race. Right. Father, I was attracted to somebody who's not my spouse. Okay, that means you're alive. Okay, you know, these are good things. What did you do with it, though? Father, I got angry and I shouted at my wife. Okay, that's a sin. Confess that. Father, I did thus and such, and I knew I should not have. Okay, that's a sin. Confess that, right? To simply be angry, to simply be filled with desire, to simply have or experience an emotion is not itself sinful. It's good, if it's anything. It's created by God, and all creation is good. After you confess your sins and you're finished, it's helpful to let me know that you're finished, right? Because sometimes people have a hard time saying a particular thing, and I don't want to cut you off. So when you're done, you can simply say, and for these and all my sins that I do not now remember, Father, I ask for absolution. Great. That is like grade A, 110% awesome confession, okay? I'll give you just a little short word or two, because I save my sermons for the pulpit, right? I don't use those in confession. I'm not going to yell at you. I've been yelled at by priests in the past. It's not fun. I'm not going to try to make you feel worse. You feel bad enough. That's why you're there, right? I am here to simply offer you the beautiful grace that God has to give. I'll then give you a penance. I can tell you right now, though, what your penance will be, and I'll explain why very quickly. Your penance will be 3 Our Fathers and 3 Hail Marys for an intention of mine. That's it. That's all it'll be. I guarantee that. Not because I'm lazy, which I am lazy, but I'm not lazy in the confessional. It's not because I'm lazy, but because the church asks me to do penance for my penitents. Those who come to confession, I should do penance for them. That's what priests are meant to do. To keep it easier for this kind of dull mind, I just double up. On whatever I gave you, that's what I do. And if more is required, don't worry. I do it, right? It's because God wants you to know that you are not alone in your penance. You are not alone in making up for sin. There's somebody, me, who is with you, who is walking that path alongside you. Then you'll make an act of contrition after you accept the penance. If you don't know one, that's fine. There's usually one in there you can read. Or you can do what I do. I have to pull out my phone and read it because I can't keep the different versions straight in my head. Everybody's got their own little different taste for it. And so you just read your act of contrition, and the priest will offer you absolution. Winner, winner, chicken dinner, right? You have been raised to new life in no less real way than the young man in Nain in today's gospel. God raises your soul to new life. If you are not dead in mortal sin, he still beautifies and raises your soul, lifting it to ever higher realms of his goodness, of his love, of his mercy. We give thanks to God that he has given us this great sacrament. And if any of you would like to receive it, again, I will be available after Mass today. That's not a normal thing that I want to get into, but it will be because I'll be ever more tired after Mass, that might be an excellent time to come to confession. Either way, my sisters and brothers, I appreciate the business, but if you want to go somewhere else, please do. Find a priest that works for you. Go to confession and receive not hatred, not a finger of blame pointing at your face, but receive the great love and the great mercy that God wants to give you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.